to Topple Uncaged. I'm Steve Topple, and over the next 20 minutes, I'll be bringing you the quickest firing news roundup of the week. I'll be getting down and dirty with a very special guest going through some big stories. I'll be taking apart this week's Question Time, and also I'll be bringing you some of the biggest, most banging political tunes going. So, lock and load, people. Let's go.
Uncaged.
What's up, everyone? I am Steve Topple. It is Sunday the 2nd of December, and that can only mean one thing. Yes, it's episode 3 of Topple Uncaged. And today I am the Reverend Topple of the Greed by Stealth Ministries. I've got my dog collar. I've got my script from the Canary, which says... What's it say? Hang on. Oh, yes, it says, I support Corbyn's Brexit. Yes, my flock of uncages, that's my sermon. Don't you know, I'm also a part-time lesbian, thespian, yes. I was the busty barmaid in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, yes. Of course, this is why the Canary has hired me. Right, anyway, enough of that. You do not need propaganda posing as some Z-list actress. What you come to Topple Uncaged for is some real, raw news. So, are you ready? Are you steady? Let's go. The fastest news segment in the UK, it's Plucked News. Right, you know what this section is? It's Plucked News. 5 news stories, 5 minutes, can I do it? No messing around this week. In 3, 2, 1, let's go. First, we're off to The Guardian, and Ukraine bans entry to Russian men to prevent armies forming. This is, of course, the ongoing saga of Ukraine and Russia. This week, we've seen Ukrainian naval vessels enter Russian waters, but suddenly, Russia are the bad ones for wanting them removed and seeing it as a provocation. Of course it's not, but the problem is this whole story is based on manipulation by the Western media, and a lie. The Ukrainian coup of 2014, where Poroshenko took power, was backed by neo-Nazis. It was also backed by Western neocons. But moreover, this whole notion of Russia annexing Crimea is also based on a lie. Check BBC News in 2014. The elected Crimean Prime Minister asked Russia for intervention. Why? Not least because Crimea has always been historically Russian territory, but 60% of Crimeans are actually native Russians. We are seeing constant media manipulation of the story between Russia and Crimea, and what's it all about, Alfie? It's about gas pipelines, and it's about NATO expanding, and it's about the EU going further into Russian territory. Next up, we're off to BBC News. Then they reported that rail fares rise by 3.1% in January. I don't need to tell you what this is. This is a story of more chaos on our rail network, with prices expected to go up by 3.1% at the start of 2019. We already had the most expensive rail tickets in Europe, and this is just going to push us even further ahead of the pack. But it's endemic of the chaos on the UK's rail infrastructure, not least with Southern Rail, the beleaguered train company with their blatant disregard for passengers, disregard for trade unions who are trying to stick up for their staff and passengers, and their appalling treatment of disabled people. Then off to the East Coast Main Line, originally nationalised by Andrew Adonis in 2009, it was the best performing train line in the whole country. But then the Tories decided to privatise it in 2015. Who did they give it to? Richard Branson and Stagecoach. But then when that didn't go well for them, they bailed out to the cost of £2 billion the taxpayer, even after the two companies took £51.2 million in dividends from that mainline operation. This is the most staggering example of corporatism I have ever seen. You have a public service sold off by conservatives, handed to the private sector, and then the government does the bidding of the private sector by not batting an eyelid when everything's going to rack and ruin. And to top it all off, prices go through the roof yet again. Corporatism, that's what this is. So for story number 3, we're off to The Sun, and they say, tip down extremists. Social media is a game changer for brainwashing terrorists, warns anti-extremism czar, and terror attacks are just the tip of the iceberg. This is more hyperbole from The Sun. They're talking about the comments of the extremism commissioner, Sarah Khan, who revealed she's genuinely shocked to discover the true scale of, quote, mushrooming support that Islamist far right and far left groups now have. Check yourselves. Check what was in that. Far left groups. Do you see where this is going yet? All you people squealing for more police rights, more surveillance, more monitoring of social media to track down extremism. All you're doing is playing into the hands of the government, who will quite happily turn around and use all these powers against the left wing. We are already seeing it on Twitter. Check out the hashtag Activist Anomalies, where disabled people and other campaigners are being actively shut down because their views are too unpalatable for the establishment. But this overreactive nonsense about how social media is fermenting extremist groups, while in part may be true about the far right
and ISIS. It is, of course, ignoring the main issue here with far-right and Islamist extremism. That is, it's fomented by Western governments and openly encouraged. And moreover, look at the situation with Salman Abedi, the Manchester bomber, who MI6 let quite happily go off to Libya to fight Gaddafi when they thought it was in their interests, and then let him back into the country when they thought he was no threat, and who turned a blind eye to him when they thought he was a useful asset in terrorist groups. The situation is preposterous and stinks of hypocrisy, and the Sun are just turning into absolute hyperbole. As I say, be warned, the left, they'll be coming for you next. And for story number four, we're off to my mate John Pring at Disability News Service. He reports that DWP admits failing to keep track of disability discrimination claims by its own staff. This is absolutely staggering. The DWP are not keeping track of how many of its own staff complain against them about disability discrimination. But John Pring reports that there have been 60 cases where the DWP has been taken to a tribunal over this. Now, shock, horror, I hear you say. Why are you shocked about this? This is the DWP we're talking about here. Not only did thousands of people die after it found them fit for work, but 10 claimants who it said are ready to move towards work in the ESA work-related activity group have also been dying a day. Moreover, we've now had 5 UN reports all mentioning the DWP, one of them the UNCRPD, saying that it had committed grave and systematic violations of disabled people's human rights, resulting in a human catastrophe for them. The DWP is the most notorious, nefarious government department going, and to find out that it's treating its disabled staff extremely badly is of no surprise. Surprise at all. And last but not least, it's story number 5, and we're swinging around straight from the first story, Ukraine-Russia, into this one, and this is from my mate Tom Coburg at the Canary. He says, if you thought the Cambridge Analytica scandal was big, wait till you see this. This is, of course, the story of Integrity Initiative, the dodgiest of clandestine deep state operations that specialises in covert propaganda and psyops, that is psychological operations, across Europe to try and counteract, they say, Russian propaganda. This is absolutely staggering, and none of the mainstream media have even picked up on this story yet. Basically, what's been going on, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, NATO, and other think tanks and organisations have been organising journalists, academics all across Europe to try and counter Russian propaganda. But effectively what they're doing instead is pushing out Western propaganda left, right and centre. Some of the people named in his documents are staggering. I should put out a disclaimer. Most of the journalists and outlets mentioned in this news piece claimed they were listed as potential people the Integrity Initiative could get a hold of, but they hadn't actually worked with them. Bullshit! It's Bellingcat, BuzzFeed, Telegraph, numerous other journalists are all implicated in this, but there's an even bigger question here. So it's acceptable for us to do propaganda and roll it out across the world, as we're seeing with the BBC launching its radio service in North Korea. Nothing to see there. But yet when Russia does it, nope, can't do that bad. We need to use clandestine operations to counter this left, right and centre. It's of course nonsense, and it's more manipulation of the public into believing a constant Western narrative. It makes me absolutely sick. And I haven't even got time to talk about the pregnant woman in Ireland who's been jailed for 4 months for opening a can of Pringles in Tesco's. Admittedly, this woman had 31 previous offences, but no one's bothered to ask why she's doing this, if she's poor, if she's in poverty, if she needs help. Nope, just lock her up. That's the way of the Western world now. Nor have I time to talk about the 2 deaths we've seen this week. Firstly, George Bush Sr. dying, the former US president, and then also the very sad news that Harry Leslie Smith passed away as well. One was a caring, kind, compassionate man who campaigned for social justice, inequality, the rights of refugees, and the rights of everyone to live in peace and harmony on this planet. The other was a warmongering neocon who used to work for the CIA and caused more terror in this world than half the terrorist groups combined, and gave birth to the spawn of the devil who set us on the path to one we see now. You know which one is which. Then I haven't even had a chance to mention the earthquake in Alaska and this very interesting man who's coming out and predicting these. His name's Ditrianum, and if you can find him on Twitter, he is at DITRIANUM. He's predicting these earthquakes. He says it's related to where the planets are in the solar system, and when they align, it means we're going to see some tremors left, right and centre. Really interesting stuff. Check him out on Twitter. And nor have I time to pull apart JK Rowling, who tweeted, I swear to God I'm not trying to bang on about Brexit, but for fuck's sake, every time I come out of my writing room and look at the news, some more dumbassery has been committed. The whole point of democracy is freedom of change your opinion when the circumstances change. You've got a fucking writing room, love. You ordered the bedroom tax. I thought you were on benefits when you first started writing. You're one of these people who pulls the ladder up, aren't you? And I need that time to mention the G20, where everyone's involved in a mass circle jerk with Mohammed bin Salman, Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. You've got the rancid corporatist Putin high-fiving him. You've got secret conversations being aired between him and Macron. All the while, 21 billion people in Yemen on the human catastrophe, one of the biggest famines in this century, and yet everyone loves Crown Prince Ben Salman. You are all bloody hypocrites. It's rancid. That's me. Plucked News. Done for another week. I'm going to smoke 20 cigarettes and I'm back with a very, 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 very special guest.
Dissecting this week's top stories, it's me, Free Flying, with...
Today, I am only joined by amazing US comedian. He's such a star and he's so funny. It's only Lee Camp, everyone. Lee has got his amazing stand-up show out at the minute. It is called Super Patriotic, Very Uncle Sam Comedy Special, Not Allowed on American TV. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to check it out.
Just briefly, before we get going, actually, why do you think that is? Yeah. Right, so, Lee, we have got three stories to get through today. We're going to kick off with Brexit. Lee, what I'm interested in with this whole Brexit debacle is how is this playing out in the US? Why, thank you. This is brilliant. Yes. It's staggering, isn't it? Because over here, we've had this whole Cambridge Analytica, SQL scandal, and yet this whole machine is still bumbling along, and everyone's just kind of like, oh, well, kind of shrugs their shoulders, and what can we do about it? And on it goes, on it goes. Is that similar over there? The pinnacle of that over here was we had a visit from the UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty, Philip Alston, who I know visited the US in 2017 and gave quite a damning report about poverty and inequality in the US. I'm interested also, because I love your train of thought, because it's along the lines of Naomi Klein with regards to corporatism and the way the world works surrounding that. That's very much sort of where I sit on the grand scheme of things as well. And I think, for me, the EU referendum, I neither voted Leave or Remain. I did what's called in this country sport. My ballot, because essentially what we had was being stuck between a corporatist EU or a corporatist Great Britain. And I'm just interested, if you had to vote in the EU referendum, what would you have done? Yeah, essentially. And that's what we're stuck with. And it's going to be something that's going to play out for months and months. I mean, we're supposed to be leaving on the 29th of March, allegedly. So whether you'll see us again after that, I'm really not sure. We will see what happens. Yeah.
Moving on, this was something you touched on quite nicely in your Super Patriotic show, which I think I've got a clip of now.
And our media, you know, they have criticized Trump endlessly, every day, endlessly. Some of it fucking justified, some of it not, but criticized him endlessly. But the one thing they celebrated him for, they were like, he's presidential now, is when he started bombing Syria. When he started releasing bombs out into the world, they were like, yes, that's our guy. And even when they're having a so-called debate on war, on our infinite bombing, even when it's a debate, even the way they couch things, the way the terminology they use is designed to manipulate you. It's designed to make you think a certain way. So like they'll have a panel, right? And they'll have one guy who's like, I don't know if we should be bombing Syria right now. And then they'll have three guys, and one woman who say, we have to bomb Syria right now. And even though it's a debate, they keep saying terms like advanced weaponry, our advanced weaponry. It's not fucking advanced to bomb. It's barbaric, all right? And that makes you think a certain way. Oh, our advanced weapon. That's like if you saw two guys playing pool and one of them took the stick and then just broke it over the other guy's back. And you were like, that was a really advanced move. That was pretty impressive there. I never would have thought of that. I've been playing pool for years.
Okay, so Lee, we see it all the time in the UK, media manipulation, if you like, of the public into just blanketly agreeing with war and not seeing corruption where it is. Do you think this is something which has got worse in recent years?
It's absolutely mad, isn't it? Because we have exactly the same problem over here. Tony Blair is rolled out on a weekly basis to talk about Brexit. I know, he's still here. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And he's all the time, he's in the damn media over here. It's bizarre, and you're correct. I mean, it's kind of like the establishment, as you say in the US, and neocons. They're sort of thrashing around in their own excrement almost, aren't they? Suddenly more and more people are becoming upwoke. They really don't know what to do about it. But I'm interested because while it had a tangible effect over here with our 2017 general election, because Labour surged 20% across the course of the campaign, and ended up almost neck and neck at the end with the Conservative Party. And a lot of that was put down to independent media and social media being able to break through the discourse. Do you think it is breaking through enough at the minute?
True. Yeah.
It is a fascinating time, and I always kind of sit and think. I think it was Eisenhower, wasn't it, who coined the term military-industrial complex. I wonder what the fuck he'd think of it now, seriously, if he could see the scale of just how much it has grown. It has, essentially. I mean, and in the UK alone, I mean, one of the major problems we have is our House of Lords, which is the non-elected sort of upper chamber of our House of Parliament. Around 15% of them have shares invested in arms companies. And these are the people who sign off on every law that passes through Parliament. And I know you have a problem, real problem with lobbying in the US, don't you? Bloody hell. Oh, yes. It's fucking mad. This kind of leads us in then to our final story. Currently, Lee, over here, there's a big hoo-ha at the minute. It goes back to, you guessed it, Brexit again. Jeremy Corbyn, Labour leader, and Theresa May, the Prime Minister, have decided they're going to have a little TV debate about Brexit. And hoo-ha because the BBC are claiming that Corbyn won't agree to have this debate on the BBC, and that Corbyn's been challenged by Theresa May to this TV debate, and Corbyn's refusing to take part. Whereas the reality is that Jeremy Corbyn has actually agreed to the other rival TV channels debate quite happily. Our wonderful impartial public service broadcaster, paid for by the taxpayer at the pain of going to prison if you don't, the BBC, is of course manipulating the situation entirely. Now, we have seen this ever since Corbyn got elected in the UK in 2015. There's a constant barrage of negative press. I mean, I assume you saw the same with Bernie Sanders during the US elections, didn't you? Staggering, isn't it? My God. I mean, this is the most crazy thing about it. It is so laughable. The reality of it is, Jeremy Corbyn, in some respects, like Bernie Sanders, Jeremy Corbyn ain't that radical. He's like a sort of fairly sort of wild democratic socialist. And that's about it. He's not, I mean, when you compare his policies to countries like Norway, Sweden, Denmark, he's along the lines of this Nordic model of democratic socialism. And it's like, and you're really worried about that? But obviously they are worried. And my... No. It
Exactly. And this, again, I sit here day in, day out of my life going, is this what we've come to? That Jeremy Corbyn and Bernie Sanders are suddenly sort of the radical left? But apparently they are. But still, they get portrayed as this menace, this communist Maoist menace to society. For me, what it is, I think the challenge for Corbyn and for Sanders is that it's more the threat of what they represent is what the establishment is so scared of. Because in the UK, behind Corbyn is this mass movement of 500,000 people within the Labour Party, plus a wider movement outside of the Labour Party, which are broadly supportive of Corbyn. And I think it's the threat of that kind of grassroots-led movements beginning to take control of things, which I think is the real threat here. Do you agree? Is that sort of similar in the US?
Hmm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, as you say, the threat of the good example kind of sums up all those three stories all together, Lee. Lee Camp, it was such a pleasure to have you on my podcast. And don't forget Lee's absolutely staggeringly good stand-up show, Super Patriotic, Very Uncle Sam comedy special, Not Allowed on American TV, is available by the link that will be in the show notes to list. Lee Camp, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you very much. Boom. Lee Camp, everyone. Taking down this week's BBC QT, it's question time. Topple chirps back. If you thought Question Time is usually a Brexit bonanza, not in a good way, then this week's show is absolutely staggering. It managed to dedicate nearly the whole hour to the subject, with just one question off Brexit thrown in for good measure at the end. This is absolutely unacceptable, Question Time. There's so much other stuff going on in this country that needs to be raised, and you should continue to focus on Brexit. Anyway, what have you got for me this week, Question Time? First question, please. I'm sorry, is this some sort of surprise to you? Shock horror, when you take an unstoppable force like the corporatist EU and place it against an immovable object like our arrogant conservative-led government, what did you expect was going to happen? This was always going to be an absolute disaster, as I said so from 2016, but what we have to do now is focus, get it over and done with. This just needs to be resolved, whatever the outcome is. But what we need to be focused on is the fact that both the corporatist EU and our establishment parties in this country need bringing down. This system needs to end. So let's shut up, get on with Brexit, and then focus on the real issue: corporatist capitalism and the hierarchies that exist in this world. Next question, please. aren't you musing? Yes, very, very droll. UK fishermen, you do realise that in 2011, the cod stocks around this country nearly collapsed. They've only just returned to sustainable levels. Never mind the fact where who's going to be fishing where. What we should be looking at is applying the same principles that we apply to the meat industry. That is, it should be sustainable, it shouldn't be factory farmed, it should be free-ranged and blue tractor at very least. We need to apply that to the fishing industry also. The narrative around this has to change. We have to stop looking at animals and every resource on this planet is something infinite that's just going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, no matter what we do to it. This has to end, and this whole narrative with fishing and who controls what just so we can over fish just to meet our fatty demands is not good enough. Next question, please. I have a real, real issue with this, and it's because nobody is addressing the underlying problem we have here. This rise in children's mental health issues and this rise in children's emotional instability is not down to bad parenting. It's not down to the rise in video games as such. It's not even down to the rise in social media. It's down to the rise in capitalism and its effects. When you have parents going out to work and not even earning enough money to keep their family in the basic things they need, this is going to have a knock-on effect to children. 8 years of austerity, grinding capitalism, grinding poverty, it's all having an effect. And I do think, yes, social media plays a part in that and it is exacerbating the problem. But the underlying issue is the system we live under. This is why we're seeing a rise in children's mental health issues. It's capitalism, it's austerity, and it's the hierarchical structures that exist within society. And children are now bearing the brunt of this. Again, I always say it, is because we need a system change. Increased mental health services, worrying about social media, it is sticking plasters on broken legs. So thank you, Question Time. That is it for this week. Please do better next week and discuss something other than Brexit for most of the show. Thank you.
And here's this week's banger in Revolutionary Bird Song.
I am, as always, so excited for my music section on this week's podcast because, as always, I get on artists who are groundbreaking, in my opinion, and really outriders in what they do. And this week, I'm so pleased I've got the most talented young lady joining me. It's only July Jones. July, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. You've got this wonderfully rich alto voice, which kind of puts me in mind of some of the sort of great soul jazz singers like Gladys Knight and Sarah Vaughan. And then you kind of mix it up with this brilliant electro pop. It's just, I love it to bits. It's brilliant. July, so tell me a bit about you. So you're from Slovenia originally. How did you get into music? Yeah. Oh, excellent. Yeah. Your influences are really, really wide musically. It's fascinating. And it really comes out in your music. You're not just a singer, you're a songwriter as well. And it really comes across as... Yeah. It comes across. What I'm also really interested in, because I'm bisexual as well, and again, what I think is brilliant, you don't hold back. You're extremely open about your sexuality, and it's obvious from your music, and it's quite groundbreaking because, the video to Jump in the Water, you're openly in a relationship with a woman in that. You don't get that from many artists. Is that something you're extremely passionate about? Yeah.
I'm also interested, July, because obviously you're from Slovenia originally, but you now live in the UK. We have the ongoing Brexit saga going on and on and on and on. What's your take on it? Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I think that's kind of this narrative and a aspect of this which has kind of been pushed to the back by the media a lot of the time, and that is the real world effect. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think Theresa May is going to give us that, to be honest, but we shall see. That's happening next year in March, but also happening next year, on a more positive note, is you're going to have some fresh music coming out, aren't you? Tell me about that. What's going on? Excellent. Excellent. That sounds amazing. July Jones, thank you so much for joining me. It's such a pleasure to speak to you. And here is July's last song for you. It's an absolute cracker. It's banging. And I just love July Jones to bits. It is Girl in Paris. Here it is. Check it out.
It's like blah, 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 blah. But it makes me feel like I'm on fire. Make me wanna dive into desire. Oh, ain't even kissed yet, but I thought it's la, 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 la. Till you said that. Ooh, ooh, that you got that girl in Paris. Ooh, ooh, what we got right here is magic. That girl in Paris. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I wanna be that girl in Paris. Girl in Paris. I wanna be that girl in Paris. We so close, coming close if you dare now. Is it love? Say the words if you can.
And that's it. Episode 3 of Top Lawn Caged is done. I'd like to thank my amazing guest this week, the fantastic Lee Camp. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Lee Camp. The fabulous July Jones Music. Follow her on Twitter. It's at July Jones Music. Backstage, of course, thank you to the fantastic, gorgeous, beautiful, I love you so much, Nicola Jeffrey. Follow her on Twitter. It's at Nicola C. Jeffrey. And also my in-house singer. It's Ray Star Music. Follow her on Twitter. It's at Ray underscore star 113. As always, thank you to the Canary for unleashing me. And make sure you join us. Become a member at www.thecanary.co and check out our fantastic new website. That's it. Take care of yourselves until next week. Goodbye.
Uncaged.